Time to talk many things Ducks. He's the voice of Oregon baseball, a member of the Oregon IMG Network, bringing you Duck Insider, following us, and of course, live from 1 to 3 daily. Follow along on Twitter. Use the handle at Joey McMurray, MCMURRY, Joey Mac. How you doing?
I'm good, Steve. That's good. That's well done, by the way, on the spelling. No one ever gets that right, so I appreciate it.
Well, I know on Twitter, these things count, and so I wrote it down because I can't be trusted. So today, Dana Altman had his going-away press conference for this season, and the storyline has obviously been the exodus. Were you at all surprised that Coach Altman said he knew Dorsey and Brooks were gone all season long and that it wasn't a couple of decisions that, you know, in essence came after the North Carolina loss?
I thought that it was interesting that he said that. I don't know if surprised is the right word, but I think that it was funny how he kind of alluded to today that it's like his spidey sense, you know, that coaching sense. And Coach Altman just kind of goes, eh. I think it was Steve Mims who asked the question, and Coach Altman just kind of goes, eh, you know, I think anybody could have figured out, actually, that they were probably not going to come back, which I thought was kind of funny because you don't really hear coaches acknowledge that maybe fans are, you know, on top of things and the media is on top of things. Like, yeah, if those guys tested the water last year, they're probably going to leave. I just thought that it was kind of interesting that he gave a little glimpse into, you know, sometimes the coaches know just as much as the fans and the media do in terms of how things can be interpreted. So I don't know if I was surprised, but I definitely thought that it was kind of interesting that he said that. That's kind of the way Coach Altman is, you know.
Yeah.
He's very upfront. He's very honest about all that kind of stuff. And, you know, since you said it was the farewell, honestly, it wouldn't shock me if the fans hear from Dana Altman at least once, maybe two more times over the course of the next month or so, because now that they've got some open scholarships, they maybe adding some guys. I mean, we'll have to see what they do.
Well, they're going to need guys to play next year. I do know that much about basketball. So we'll see who else joins the fray. But with those two in Bell, and today Coach Altman addressed Casey Benson, who's transferring, and said that maybe Pritchard starting over him could have aided the decision. But knowing all of the top seven in the rotation are gone, but he and Pritchard, were you surprised at all the announcement that Casey Benson decided to transfer?
You know, I wasn't, and I thought that Dana Altman saying that he had even talked with Casey Benson about that over the course of the season was pretty telling. You know, I think that Casey Benson's a guy who's a very team-first guy, and anyone who's ever heard him speak will definitely realize exactly what I'm talking about. He's just that team-oriented guy, and so to me, I wasn't surprised that he decided to transfer because ultimately he's going to get his degree. He'll be a graduate transfer, and you know, say what you will about the way the graduate transfer rule works, but to me, the most important part of being a student athlete, unless you're going to be able to get paid and go be a professional athlete, you got to get your degree because that's honestly part of what you're there for. And so he will get his degree and transfer, and he's got family connections to Arizona, so it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up there at Grand Canyon where his brother's an assistant coach. We'll see it. I thought that he would be a big piece for the Ducks next year, but at the same time, they've got a lot of guards. It's really the big men that they don't have a ton of depth with. So it didn't really shock me, and I thought that Dane Altman saying that, you know, he had even talked with Casey Benson about, hey, we'll finish this season strong, then figure out what you want to do. I thought that that was pretty telling that, you know, sometimes when a guy gets replaced, regardless of how much of a team-oriented guy he is, the best thing to do might be to move on to another place. And that's something that Dan Altman and his staff always encourage the guys to do.
So you weren't surprised by Benson, Dorsey, Brooks. Were you surprised that Madison Bumgarner decided to turn into Evel Knievel during a day off and almost ruin
that
your Giants?
That was a little bit surprising, but with the Giants start at the beginning of the season, maybe I'm not as shocked as I probably should be. I don't know.
We're talking with Joey Mack. So considering he just went to the Final Four and we're witnessing all this roster upheaval, seemed that Altman was pretty lighthearted. Is he just confident that he's got a lot of talent coming back and, you know, that now he's kind of got that monkey off his back? He's now a Final Four coach. Or is he just the guy who's comfortable in his skin and is of the opinion, we'll figure it out, we'll do the best we can, we'll be okay?
I think the short answer to that question is yes. Because ultimately, he's both of those things. I do think that the elevation of the program that we've seen over the last really probably 3 years, maybe 4 years, I think that the way that the Ducks have built that program up and the way Dan Altman has built that program up, I think that they are confident that they can get into a lot of recruits' living rooms now. And I thought that Dan Altman saying today that, you know, hey, getting to the Final Four, at least now the recruits pick up the phone. You know, I mean, it does raise the level of the program. He's not going to call a recruit and they go, eh, you're from Oregon. Now it's like, oh, you're from Oregon. You know, I think that's very different compared to what maybe they went through when Dane Altman and his staff first got here. And it's been a staff that's had a lot of continuity, so I think that helps too. They've only had one assistant coach leave since Dane Altman got the job back, what, 7, 8 years ago now. And so I think that ultimately he is a confident guy that they will find pieces, and he's also just that kind of guy that even if they were alarmed, I don't think that he would ever give you that impression. He'd be honest about it, but Dane Altman's a very even-keeled guy, so even if they were a little bit alarmed by the fact that there's this much roster turnover, he'd still have the same attitude about it. And I think that's part of why he's been so successful.
Let's get to Duck baseball. So Stanford was coming in. David Peterson started Friday. They were 38th in the RPI. They were ahead of the Cardinal in the standings. And now they've dropped to 8th in the conference, 60th in the RPI. Without getting over dramatic, there's a lot of baseball left. Safe to say that was a really rough sweep, especially at home.
Yeah, first time in 6 years, the Ducks have been swept at home in a Pac-12 series. So I think that it definitely stung, especially because it felt like both of those programs were looking for a big signature series win. And unfortunately for the Ducks, they couldn't defend home turf. And that was something they had done really well this year. Oregon was 13-2 at home heading into this past weekend, and Stanford took it to them. And it was kind of odd the way that Stanford did it, because Stanford was very similar to Oregon. The offense is inconsistent, but the pitching staff is really good, and yet it was the offense that showed up for the Cardinal, getting 10, 13, and 16 hits in the three games. So it was a little bit of an odd series, and, you know, I'd like to say that it was an anomaly. I think the coaches would certainly like to say that it was an anomaly, but ultimately that remains to be seen, because as you mentioned, the RPI shifted dramatically, because these were two teams that were right with each other in the RPI. The Ducks were third in the conference in RPI at 38 coming into the weekend, as you alluded to, and the Cardinal were 41, which was fourth in the conference in RPI. So it felt like this was a separation kind of series.
Yep.
And even though there is a lot of baseball left, I think that Stanford did separate itself from Oregon in terms of being one of those upper echelon conference teams. So now it is an uphill battle moving forward for the Ducks, because the RPI is a lot lower. They've got a few more teams in front of them now. And for Stanford, they're now up in the teens in the RPI. And that tells you how important those road wins are, which might be why some of these midweekers, like the one tomorrow against Oregon State, the number one team in the country in RPI, those are going to be pretty important for the Ducks.
We were talking last week with Coach Horton about, you know, Sunday, I guess you could call it game three of these series. You know, after Peterson, we saw Carranza got hit hard for the second straight start. Going back to Utah, it was Zach Knoll. What's the level of concern right now about that spot in particular being so shaky, you know, heading into these important last 19 games?
I think it's very concerning because, you know, David Peterson's been lights out, and he was sick this past weekend, and he'd be the first to say that that didn't affect him, and he's not going to use that as an excuse. But at the end of the day, it certainly looked to me like that did affect him. He just couldn't quite finish hitters off. And so unless you get that ace effort from David Peterson, the Saturday-Sunday has been a little bit iffy, because at the beginning of the year, Matt Mercer was rock solid. But in his last four starts, he actually hasn't been as good. He's barely gotten the Ducks through the fifth inning without getting into trouble, and that was not the case earlier in the year for Mercer. So if those two guys don't give you a lights-out effort, then all of a sudden that Sunday roll gets a lot more interesting. And I think that the ultimate reason the Ducks went away from Colston to Zach Knoll, Isaiah Carranza, is they wanted to have a guy that could go deeper into ballgames. Because Cole Stringer, it seemed like he was the kind of guy that after he went through the order two times, teams started to figure him out. Teams started to hit him. And so that was part of why Jason Dietrich, the pitching coach for the Ducks, made the decision to try out Zach Nolan and Isaiah Carranza, guys that he thought had the stuff and the endurance to maybe go a little deeper into a ballgame, save the bullpen. But now it seems like it's kind of backfired for the Ducks, because each time Noel and Carranza have gone out there, at least against Pac-12 opponents, the Ducks have had to pull them out early and go to the bullpen earlier than you would have if Cole Stringer was out there. So I don't know if Cole Stringer is the answer. I don't know if the Ducks really have a true answer to that question, but I think it is very important down the stretch, especially if Peterson and Mercer aren't going to be lights out every weekend, which is a really tough thing to ask those guys to do, especially against Pac-12 conference opponents. And that Sunday game ends up being really, really important. And just take a look at Oregon State up the road in Corvallis. A big reason why Oregon State keeps winning a bunch of games is because they seem to have, at least numbers-wise, the best Sunday starter in the conference. Makes a big difference.
Sure. Couple of final thoughts for Joey Mack. Let's get to football. And, you know, you guys get to interact with the coaches and the players. And what obviously is standing out to a lot of folks is Jim Leavitt with his Pepsis, his energies. he seems to have made, I guess, important connections with the guys. So seeing him up close and talking with him and the players, what's been your impression of the new coordinator?
Troy Dye said earlier last week that he didn't realize he was in his 60s until he told him. And so then the follow-up question was, so wait, hold on a second. You're working to match the energy of your 60-year-old coach, and you're, you know, 19, 20 years old. And he said, well, yeah, no, it's ridiculous. This is really the kind of level of enthusiasm that he brings. And honestly, it's no joke. He gets after it. Every time I interact with him, I'm always kind of like, what the heck just happened? And that's been kind of interesting for me to see, because I thought at times last year that was really what the defense needed. You know, I mean, and everyone's joked out defense can't be any worse than it was last year. And statistically speaking, that's probably true. But if they just even have a little more energy and playing hard and all of those sorts of things that are hard to quantify, well, it may end up being a much more successful year. And so Jim Leavitt certainly brings a lot of energy. And I've been really interested in what he's done with sort of the idea of a base defense. It seems like Oregon, although, yeah, it will be a 3-4, the Ducks are really going to kind of be running a 3-3-5 at times, also run some base nickel packages. And so with the way that modern football has developed, you can't really have one true base defense. It seems like you always are throwing in a 5th DB or at least a linebacker that can cover a tight end or a slot receiver at times. And so this whole idea of what they're calling the duck position, which Fotuleato actually is a guy that's probably going to play this position quite a bit, with that roaming position that can come up and play in the run support and then also can drop back into coverage a little bit, I think that it kind of speaks to the development of modern football with the spread offense, particularly in the Pac-12. And just those sorts of things, how he's figuring out how to mold guys like Fotuleato, who was probably, third on the depth chart at strong safety or free safety last year. He seems to be finding a way to get those guys interact. So I've been really impressed with the way that he's done that. Certainly his track record speaks for himself. I mean, 3 years ago, Colorado's defense was terrible. Look what they were last year under him.
No, it was an amazing turnaround. Lastly, the offensive line, Mario Cristobal now in there with the young guys who won all those starting jobs last year. Add in Tyler Crosby. So what's been your read on kind of his impact? And by the way, I do get it's April and maybe how this group is kind of coming together and the prospects for 2017.
Well, the first thing that he always brings up is that he wants to be physical, 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 physical. And I know there's a lot of Oregon fans out there, and even from a national perspective, that would look at the Ducks and say, well, they're a finesse team. And, you know, that's always kind of been the knock on Oregon, whether it's justified or not. And he's been very upfront saying, you're going to be physical, you're going to be physical. You know, pride yourself on being physical and winning at the point of attack. And so he's really emphasized that. And I'm sure a lot of Oregon fans are happy about that. And the offensive line seems to be taking to him pretty well. And, you know, he was asked about this young offensive line because you figure with four returning starters, you add back Tyrell Crosby, a lot of depth at some different positions. He's got some pieces there that can be really, really good. And so I think that one of the things that stuck out for me with him is just the level of intensity that he's pushing those sorts of guys that, you know, you'd assume they're going to be pretty good. They're going to be very good at protecting the quarterback, establishing the run, and that's something that he's also going to be in charge of as the run game coordinator. And with the running backs that the Ducks have, sometimes if the offensive line just gives them a little crease, they're going to find room. So I've been impressed with the way that he's established that sort of physical culture and just emphasizing the physicality. But the other thing that stuck out to me is how articulate he is. I mean, he's one of those coaches that you could sit down and talk to him for hours, and he's very articulate. You can tell that he was a head coach at one point. And whether or not he's that articulate in the private meeting rooms, who knows? But you would assume so with how articulate he is with the media. And that's something that stuck out to me, particularly with him. He's very articulate. He's very verbose, honestly, and he does a really nice job explaining exactly what his philosophy is. And so I think that at times that's something that can be overlooked a little bit, but he's very, very good at that. And you can tell, like I said, that he's been a head coach in his career.
All righty. Tomorrow, Oregon baseball. Saturday, the spring game. Each weekday from 1 to 3, you get Duck Insider. Follows us at 6 o'clock. All his work with the Oregon IMG Network. Joey, it's good catching up, man. We really, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Steve, always a pleasure. Can always make time for you guys. Enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, you too. Take it easy.